Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
I love this next guest because what she wrote is what I strongly believe in, and we got lucky and did with our kids. The Enchanted Hour, grounded in the latest neuroscience and behavioral research and drawing widely from the literature, The Enchanted Hour explains how reading aloud is so important at every age, not just for our kids. But Megan Cox Gurdon, MEGHANCOXGURDON. The reason I'm spelling that out is because if you put a .com, that's the website, is herself a mom of five and argues that this, well, let her tell you about why this is so good. So, Megan, when our kids were growing up, we were at the University of Chicago. My wife and I worked there, but we would go over to a local bookstore called 57th Street Books, which had an hour of reading out loud. In fact, it had 3 hours of reading out loud to kids every Saturday and Sunday. And I used to love that and participate in it. And you say I was actually doing something even better than just reading to my child at home.
Oh, I'm so happy to hear. I love hearing stories like that. I think it's so important. You know, it takes the effort, right, to get the reading going. The bookstore sponsors it, but the parents have to go, or the parents do it at home. Yeah, so here's what the Enchanted Hour is. It is about turning off your phone, picking up a book, and reading out loud to the people you love. And I would say, honestly, if there is one thing you do for the people in your life, you make one sacrifice of time, make it this. It is an unbelievably powerful practice that has amazing ramifications, as you say, not just for children, although that we have to talk about because it's incredible what reading aloud does for children, but for
wait a second, before I go on, because what you said is something so interesting. Would you say do this with, in other words, we used to have a dinner hour, but everyone runs away now, if you will. So would this, if you're just a husband and wife, would reading out loud to one another work as well?
You know, I'm hearing some fantastic things from people. I had a man come up to me the other day and tell me that he and his wife had started reading aloud recently. They've been married for 43 years, and his eyesight was going, so she was now reading novels to him. And he said, honestly, we have never been closer. It's great. It is, it's something that works with people of every age. And I will also say that it's incredibly soothing even for dogs, for animals. I have a scene in the book taken from life at the ASPCA headquarters in New York where they've been reading to these, you know, poor traumatized animals. And one of the beautiful things about reading to, I don't want to equate people and dogs, but one of the beautiful things that happens when we read together is that it's a way to be in companionship and a way to enjoy, you know, for the dog, of course, they're not making any sense of the story, but for us, we are enjoying language and story, and it doesn't require, you know, conversation. You mentioned about people fleeing the dinner table, right? Sometimes at dinner, it can be kind of stressful if you have teenagers or whatever, they don't really want to be asked how their day was. But if you can have a little time as a family, or, you know, bilaterally, two people at a time, just reading together, it's a way of being together and building your relationship without having to have, you know, discussion, confrontation. And for the dogs, I'll just say quickly, that's part of what makes it so soothing for them, apparently, is that, you know, if an animal has been badly treated, he doesn't want to have somebody looking right at him and talking to him. But a human being sitting nearby, in a non-confrontational way, reading, boy, it gets there. It regulates their breath, their heart rates. They calm down, they lie down, and it's very soothing.
Now, let me go and explore this a little more. I'm hearing more and more people listening to books. That is, they get a service like Audible, and they listen to a book. Is there a difference between that, sitting down and listening to that, versus reading out loud, and what's the difference?
Yeah, so I'm a great lover of audiobooks, so I would never want to, anything I say be interpreted as a dig against audiobooks. But I think that there are some, if you think about the similarity between, let's say, live music and recorded music, there, when something is live, or live performance, let's say, the ballet dancer is just doing that twist on the stage at that moment, and then it's over, right? It never happens again exactly like that. That's kind of, that's the analogy with reading aloud, that when we read together, it's like an art form, like a creation of art that's taking place right there at the time. And there's a lot of responsiveness. Like, let's say I'm reading to a child, and it's a book that I could easily get on audio tape or audio book anyway. No one uses tape anymore. And he or she could listen to. But when I'm reading with the child, I can see, you know, a little look in the eye, like, oh, I don't really understand. What did that word mean? Or wait, who's talking? You know, a human being there reading can respond and can interact with the listener. Whereas an audiobook, wonderful as it is and beautifully read as so many of them are, you know, they don't know if a child has missed a word or doesn't understand who is doing the talking in a, you know, an exchange of dialogue or whatever. And there's also, you know, I mean, as a doctor, you will know a lot of what probably I'm going to say, but, you know, there's immense amounts of good that comes of being in physical proximity in a warm and loving way with other people. You know, I mean, we're social animals. Being in affectionate company feels good to us. It's good for, you know, people I interviewed for the book told me about what happens just hormonally when a parent and child, again, not, this doesn't just apply to parents and children, but I'll just, for the sake of argument, you know, when a parent puts his arms around his child and begins to read aloud, both of their levels of the stress hormones decrease, and both of them experience more of the bonding hormone. And so there's, even before anything has been read, there's this kind of lovely, you know, connection, this sort of growing together, which you probably remember from reading with your kids and going to those bookstores. It's something kind of almost supernatural happens, something I call it, you know, I call it the miraculous power of reading aloud, because it has some extraordinary measurable and also intangible benefits.
And now, so one of the things that we did with our kids, and I want to know, is we would read to them out loud at bedtime, and they would fall asleep. Does that set up the path of when you read out loud, you fall asleep? I'm wondering, I haven't had much experience reading out loud to other adults, but how do you keep attention, or is that normally come? And I should tell people, we're talking to Megan Cox Gurdon, author of The Enchanted Hour, which is talking about reading out loud. And I love the idea of even doing it as adults. So I hadn't even thought of that as I was reading through this. So I'm going to now try it with my wife and see if she kills me.
Yeah. You know, I will, as to the sleeping part, you know, that was never a feature for, in my many years of reading to my five kids. Although I have heard from some other parents, a friend of mine said to me very flatly, she said, I never didn't fall asleep while I was reading to my son. You know, it can be such a cozy, such a relaxing experience that, you know, whether child or parent, somebody may fall asleep. That seems rather lovely to me. I don't see that as any kind of, you know, deficiency. But something I wanted to point out on the subject of reading with adults, you know, one of the places where I think, you know, as we as a society, as people are aging, and there are, you know, more of us are moving into middle and later life, just, you know, the demographic movement of the country, you know, people are in and out of hospital, and it can be very, very distressing to sit with someone in a hospital room. And, you know, if you've ever had that experience, it's often difficult to know what to talk about. You talk about medicine, you talk about the when's the doctor coming? You talk about, can we get that TV turned down? But it's as though, you know, when you cross the threshold into a hospital, normal, you know, cultural and intellectual life kind of grinds to a halt for a lot of people. And this is where reading aloud, I think, is going to be something really, and one of the reasons I'm really excited to be talking about the book and the, you know, the science behind it, is this is going to be a place where I think we're going to return. I mean, when I've mentioned it to, I've obviously been talking to lots of people as I've been working on this, and it comes to people with almost the force of revelation. You know, someone will say, as my good friend said the other day, you know, my mother is so sick and she's in hospice and I don't know what to talk to her about. And she loves Jane Austen, but she can't really focus on reading anymore. And I said to her, read her Jane Austen. And it was like this wonderful moment when she thought, oh, I can do it. That's what I can do. I haven't yet heard from her whether she actually carried it out when she flew across the country to see her mother. But it's like a place where people can meet, you know, on the person who's sick.
No, it's such a neat idea that I almost hit myself over the head for not having done it in the past. I think it's such
a great idea. I mean, I'm sorry for your regret, but that's right. Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah,
as long as you go forward with something different and improve on it, it's a good thing.
I don't want anybody to
feel guilty. I've always thought of that as something we do with our kids. What you're bringing up is this may make a major difference for us as adults as well. So,
absolutely.
Have you you've got 5 children? How old? What's the age range? If I may,
of course.
Probe at that.
Yes, of course. So I started reading aloud 24 and a half years ago when my first daughter was born. So she's 24. And I kept going, you know, night after night. We had a son, he's 22, and then another daughter who's now 18, shortly 19 in a couple of matter of days, in fact. And then we had another daughter who is 17 and a final daughter who is now 13. So as far as reading out loud at home goes, I am really reading. I'm reading still every night to the youngest daughter, who's 13, and everybody else has slipped out of my grasp because they're off at college. And in fact, the eldest daughter is now married, so we may have little ones to read to in some time. I don't want to speculate about that. Actually, that probably should not go on the air. Don't want to put pressure on anybody.
Do you make a time point of when you're reading to your 13-year-old, who obviously has a lot of things going on, and everyone has a lot of things going on in their life, but a 13-year-old usually doesn't want to spend a lot of time with mom. Do you schedule an hour? Do you schedule reading? How do you do it for you, for her, and for your husband?
Yeah, so no, my husband, he has over the years done very little of the reading, only if I have to travel and I can't phone in, which I have done sometimes. I've actually called and read over the phone. That's been my delightful obligation in our family, is to be the reader. And with my 13-year-old, we just have a regular date every weeknight. That's one modification that she has asked me to make, is now that she's 13, she doesn't want to read on weekends. So that is to say Friday and Saturday night. That's for, you know, sleepovers with her friends and watching a bit of TV and that kind of thing. But I do read Sunday through Thursday with her. And we read at bedtime. And, you know, it usually goes for about an hour. I usually go up at about 8:30 and read to her till 9:30. And sometimes, you know, things get bumped around a little and we go quite late. And sometimes, here's an interesting thing. Sometimes, not very often, but sometimes she'll say, tonight, let's not read, let's just talk. And one of the things I think is very valuable about having a kind of institutionalized time for reading is that you already have the date. You know what I mean? The template is already there. You have a scheduled appointment with your own child, and she, in this case, with you, and it means that if there's something, you know, really bothering her, there's a way to bring it up. And sometimes the stories that we read, the books that we read, will also segue into a conversation. And the enchantment, as it were, goes on a great deal longer than an hour. Books are such, I mean, they're so, you know, they're wonderful. They're portals to everything. And one of the great opportunities they give us is to spark conversation. That's very true with little children. When we're reading with little children, one of the great benefits to them is that it means that an adult who loves them is engaging with them and talking to them and speaking words directly to them and hearing what they have to say. And that's, again, true with teenagers. If you're reading, if you're lucky enough to keep your teenager reading with you, you can often get into really interesting conversations based on the, you know, the characters and scenes that you meet in books.
So we've been talking with Megan Cox-Gurdon about The Enchanted Hour. To find more about her and the book, you can go to her website, Megan, MEGHANCOXGURDON.com, or, of course, get the book, The Enchanted Hour. Now, another thing you point out in the book, in addition to the strength of the emotional ties, is that this reading out loud is not a new thing or isn't just something we've done with our kids, but has a history all the way from the Greeks. Talk to me a little more about the history of reading out loud.
Yeah, it's kind of a marvelous thing. I talk about the Greeks in the context of figures who were called, they were called rhapsodes. And they essentially were professional reciters of the great epics, you know, the Iliad and the Odyssey. And they were men, and they traveled, and they would entertain audiences with their recitation. And they even competed in ancient Greece, one rhapsode against another in festivals, to see who could recite in the most, you know, compelling and consistent way. And a really good rhapsode could pick up a text at any point and recite from there. You know, the audience could say, give us the death of Patroclus in the Iliad, and a good rhapsode could do it. Yes, and in fact, writing for a very, very long time in human history was not something to be taken in through the eyes and absorbed by the mind, but writing was meant to be read out loud. So many of the earliest forms of writing, and even the early writings of the Bible, were intended to be read out loud, not to just sit there on a page. Just kind of fascinating. There is a very important part of my book, and one of the reasons why it's timely now, which in a funny way connects with the long history of reading aloud, and that is this. You know, the ancient Greeks did not have a great deal to divert them. They wrote wonderful plays. They had fantastic literature, but they didn't have iPhones or iPads or Blackberries or the internet, right, to fracture their attention and to distract them and keep them from ever being bored or inventive. And we are in a different place now. We have distraction in our pockets. You know, I'm holding my distraction in my hand right now as I talk to you. Our attention is dragged in 1,000 different directions, and not just for a little while every day, but, you know, all the time. And so one of the arguments I make in the book, and I really hope that your listeners will have a look, because there's a lot of heartening information in there, but also some kind of alarming information, is we can use reading aloud almost as a kind of medicine, almost a kind of antidote to the effects of technology on our attention spans and on our ability to be present, you know, really in the moment, paying attention to the people we love. It's something you can look at, you know. I mean, when I talk about screens and technology, it's like anything else. Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, I just wanted to say that's even in the title of your book. Megan Cox-Gurdon's book is The Enchanted Hour: The Miraculous Power of Reading Out Loud in an Age of Distraction. It's published by HarperCollins. Go ahead and complete your thought, Megan, since I interrupted you.
Oh, not at all. It's your show. You can interrupt me all you want. here's the thing. Reading aloud, as you pointed out, has a very, very long pedigree, and it does stretch all the way back in human history. And the reason, by the way, that I describe the rhapsodes, those Greek reciters, as reading out loud, is that they had books memorized. So they were like living books, kind of extraordinary. And all over the world, there were, you know, characters of one kind or another in different societies who would be like the living archives of a society, like the walking, talking library. And that's a wonderful thing. And, you know, we now have libraries at our fingertips on our phones. And so, you know, technology is very, very helpful in all kinds of ways. But our screens and our technology do interrupt our trains of thought. They make it difficult to focus. They make it difficult to be fully present with the people we love. And here's something to keep in mind about paying attention. You know, we each of us only have so much attention. We know that all of the internet is jostling all of the time to get our attention because it's a precious resource and we have only a limited amount of it. Now, you and I can make our own decisions about whether we want to have a very long attention span, you know, be able to focus for a long period of time, or whether it's not that important to us. We don't care. It's not something we cultivate. But with children, it's so important that they be able to focus, that they be able to listen, that they be able to understand what is said to them when people are speaking. You know, in the early days of school, the early years of school, that is, most instruction is not through books. It's through a teacher saying something. So children who come to school, even very young children, having had no time with adults reading to them, talking to them, explaining things to them, are at a terrible disadvantage compared to those children who have had lots of read-aloud time. So my ambition, my desire, my wild-eyed goal is for reading aloud to be renormalized so that it is something that we do with all children, and that every parent understands it's something that is just, it's beautiful. It's also fun. You know, it's not like eating. You were talking, I think, on your show earlier about farmers markets. It's not like eating a root vegetable. It's a whole lot more fun to read a book. And I would like, you know, it to be something that comes into as many lives as possible because it is so unbelievably nourishing. You know, I think if people understood...
Well, I'm going to... Megan, I can tell you one thing. I, at least, am going to try it, and we'll see how my wife likes it, or I like her reading out loud. We can do that. So thank you very much.
Great.
We've done it with our kids and now our grandkids, and think it a wonderful thing for the kids, but I like it even... What you've done is brought it as a way of literally the miraculous power of it in the age of distraction. The book is The Enchanted Hour, Megan Cox Gurdon, G-U-R-D-O-N, M-E-G-H-A-N-C-O-X-G-U-R-D-O-N.com is the website. The Enchanted Hour. Read the book and give it a try. I think it may be as miraculous as she says. I'm looking forward to reporting back to you in about a month on how my wife and I do with this. Thanks again, Megan, for being on. You've been listening to 931B. The B is always the guest segment. Wonderful guests like Megan. And the A, of course, is the news of the week, the medical news of the week, and what it means to you. Thanks very much for downloading us. Do tell your friends about us. Do rate us. And do come back for more Enchanted Hours. Thanks again.